Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch podcast. I'm your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn.
Hello.
And we have brought in Adele.
Ah! I was going to say, which will be a shit show, and you proved it for me, so.
Yes. In order to talk about Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which I know how Adele feels about this movie. but, Carolyn, do you have the synopsis?
I do. Okay. So this film came out in 2022, so earlier this year. An aging Chinese immigrant is swept up in an insane adventure in which she alone can save the world by exploring other universes, connecting with the lives she could have led. And it's directed and written by Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. And it stars Michelle Yeoh, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ki Hui Kwan, who is the child from Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom, which I figured out 10 minutes ago. And Stephanie Su and James Hong. Lots of people.
Yes. Lots of,
with like lots of cameos as well at various points.
Yeah. And these are the directors of the movie just left my brain, the Daniel Radcliffe.
Swiss Army Man.
As well. And I think this is their second film together. I believe, I don't know, one of them is directed something else. But Adele and I saw this movie when it came out. In theaters, like when it was doing its like early rollout before it went even to like major theaters and went wide and did very well. Yeah, we saw it in the festival run. Carolyn, since neither of us know what you think about this movie.
Yep.
I want you to start. Let us know what you think.
Okay. Well, I watched it last night and I wish I watched it not last night because I feel like there's some digesting I need to do.
Which part was weird?
I'm looking at a picture of the hot dog fingers right now.
That's not weird. That part makes sense.
That part is the cutest part of the movie. I will say also that for whatever reason, I got this movie sort of confused with The Farewell in my head, which I also haven't seen.
Oh, okay.
And very so it different started movies. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
You're like,
on?
Where's Awkwafina?
Well, I knew this movie had Michelle Yeoh in it, but I just didn't know that it was like a sci-fi slash action slash martial arts movie. I think this whole movie, I was trying to figure out like, I mean, like it was like 2 minutes in when I was like, oh, I was mistaken. But this movie, I think I was trying to wrap my brain around it the whole time because it's like, it seemed very much like a spoof. Like there were points when they were talking about the Everything Bagel and everything dramatic like that. It reminded me of like Spaceballs. Like just an absolute spoof, but it was actually like good. So that's what was so confusing because it was like, yeah, it was a bit of a martial arts movie. It was a sci-fi. It was like, it had some actual real drama in it. It was very much a spoof. So there was a lot going on and my brain hurts. My brain hurts. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So before we get on all that, this movie was made for $14 million and has made over $100 million. So it's a massive success and has done very well critically and financially.
I'm glad it did well financially because, yes, this would be a very expensive movie. Like this, first off, the editing in this movie is actually pretty incredible.
It's insane that you're even aware of anything that's going on.
Well, and some of the scenes, they're like half a second long and like the set deck in all the scenes is like very well done. None of them are like, oh, this was a filler shot. So I don't know how they didn't take like 4 years to film this movie. There's just so much stuff in the movie.
Yeah. I should say, I feel like this movie is basically ADHD the movie or like what it is like to live with speedy brain because it is just like batshit insane and like the wildest stuff is happening. But also then it is like, at least for me, I know I feel the way is like it's accurately like handling the emotional moments and carrying along this story with these characters. With like the story is about two relationships or like three relationships essentially.
Yep.
And like they're and it's just a family. Meanwhile, it's this insanity is happening around them.
Yeah.
And it's like continually like changing and like they're like increasing the absurdity, but they're keeping this story. And like I just feel like it is a very ADHD because it's like a million things are going along at the same time, but it's still capable of carrying through this story. It's also very our generation as well. Like these, I know these directors are, I think, close to our age as well.
I like that you mentioned that because, like, it's a very, like, it's a movie that references other movies and genres and, like specific, like, key points or touch points in cinema. But for all of the set dressing and, like, the sci-fi bits and, like, the cool action, it's entirely a story about an immigrant woman and her daughter and an immigrant woman and her husband and how they're trying to live in the U.S., as like small business owners, trying to make ends meet and still be happy and like achieve all of those like American dream goals with like a happy marriage, a happy life, happy children, financially stable. Yeah. While living in the reality. Yeah. Well, I mean, the father is like, meh. Like I don't know.
I could do without the father.
Yeah. He was cool because James Hong is old as shit and I can't believe that they got him to like do any of that.
I think his character is important though, because that is like a specific Asian American or immigrant.
I mean, it could have been a grandmother, but it is like, yes, having a parent who is even more foreign to North America explains their family dynamics.
Yeah. And then with Joy, which I still love the name choice, being so distance and like entirely different upbringing than the parents, and like it's probably why I adore this film so much, is that it is like handling that and like this real issue and those like real relationships in a very, I found it very effective and very emotional way. I know Adele felt the same way because I was sitting beside her in the theater.
What, did I stop crying at any point?
No, and then they just do this absurdity as well. And like, to get like right into it, is just like, I was just like, if you told me before I watched this movie that a part that I would have been really emotional at is when a fucking rock throws itself off a cliff. I would have been like, what are you talking about? But then when it happens in the movie, it's like it's like this buildup, and then you get the rock scene where it's just text on the screen and it's essentially silent. But I was so invested in the storyline that just entirely worked for me in every way. And I was just like, this is devastating in like so many different ways. And like Carolyn mentioned the bagel and how it's like absurdity. But this whole movie is, and it's just like, if you don't, you have to bite. Like if you don't go with that bit, I think this movie is not going to be for you in any way. You kind of have to.
What about the hot dog fingers? Or the
that's not weird. Okay, everyone is like hot dog fingers. Everyone talks about hot dog fingers, you know?
What about the butt plug? Fucking... fingers
were actually some of the most grounded scenes.
I know!
I did struggle at the beginning.
Well, part one, everything?
No, not necessarily the whole part one, but like in the beginning, the first little bit, it was fine. But a little bit after that, I was struggling with the pace of it and the like the bouncing all over the place of it, because it is kind of hard to keep up. And with someone with a little bit of the ADHD brain, it was my brain couldn't, it wasn't on the same pace as the movie, I think, especially since then they would suddenly like slow it down and then have like an emotional scene. Those did kind of like conflict, I guess, in a sense. But I did find that later in the movie, there hit a point where I was like, is this, like, this is an extremely experimental film in a really weird way. Mm-hmm. And it's very artistic. And I'm like, maybe this is kind of genius. Still didn't know if I liked it at that moment, but I was like, I think this might be just, pretty incredible. But it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff like, you know, streamers exploding everywhere and things like that, that you're like, okay, wait, sorry, they didn't necessarily leave room for the emotional beats to play out. And then things like the rock scene, because everything else was like so fast. I mean, the first rock scene, because everything else was so fast. There was one rock scene where they talk for so long and they're rocks. And you're like, oh my God, my brain is like, now I'm running ahead of the movie because they suddenly slowed it way down. So yeah, my brain was confused a lot of this movie. I did like it a lot once the movie and I found out the same pace, once we caught up to each other and once we were running along the same track, and once I stopped trying to make sense of the movie and let it happen to me, I think that's where I really started enjoying it.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to see you, like, it'd be interesting in another parallel universe how you would have experienced this watching it in a theater. Because I think, like, Yeah, because like I think like watching it in a theater with another group of people who all like cried and laughed at the same time, mm-hmm. and that you couldn't escape the movie, right? You can't look at your phone or whatever. Really yeah. helped with the pacing, because I can see watching this at home with your phone available and like eating snacks or going to the bathroom.
Yeah, you get up to go get snacks and you know go to the bathroom and yeah, totally.
And with the rapid fire editing, right? Like there's important like there's in scenes that are important that are very quick in this movie that if you're mm-hmm. a little. Was most people, you know, you watch a movie at home, you're going to lose a little focus, or at least I always do as well.
Oh,
there's
totally.
Just so many distractions. You look back and you're like, oh, I might have missed something important, but you have no idea because they're like, and because they do a bunch of like, these guys' style is like a bunch of like quick cuts to like important objects, close ups, and then that object is used later in the scene, mm-hmm. Which is good filmmaking. But if you miss that, you're just like, why is this object here? All of it, like, mm-hmm. right? It just, it's like stuff like that. Like I like in the theater, it's like you're unable to escape and you're like completely immersed.
That's the thing.
It held my attention.
There are parts of this that are so tight that I'm like, wow, someone put like, I don't know how long the script took to write, but it like there are it's woven together so tightly and in a really incredible way. And I remember thinking that at one point during the movie, because you're right. Like each little thing matters. And I was thinking of it particularly in the scene where she's like fighting all of the guys at the end and is finding like the version of them in an alternate universe that they, you know, like various things. And I thought that was so incredibly clever. But then there's also scenes that if you have not fully bought into the movie that are just absurd. Like this woman is having a meltdown. Everything's bleak. Like what's the point of living? She stabs her husband in one world. She's smashing up her own laundromat in a different one. Then there's a raccoon yelling for his friend and like this sad hot dog fingers mm-hmm. montage. Mm-hmm. If you haven't bought in, that's friggin' weird. Like, you can't take it seriously at that point, but you have to. So, yeah, I think people will struggle with this movie. That said, I think what they pulled off is actually very incredible in terms of the amount of detail and the acting. Yeah, let's talk about the acting. The acting's pretty incredible.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't think it's going to come as a surprise people know is that I love Michelle Yeoh. I've always mm-hmm. loved Michelle Yeoh. She is like, I don't know. If you're a fan of literally like any Hong Kong movie, you've probably seen her before, and she's great in everything she's ever done. And I'm glad this is the movie that is like finally got her to the point where she's getting like wide recognition. Like she's going to be nominated for Best Actress, which she deserves to be.
Mm-hmm. Especially for this movie.
Especially for this movie, and like has deserved it before. Like she's always been great and is the best part of this movie. But Ki Hai Kwan is so fucking good. He's so good. It's just
he's so sweet.
He was pushed out of Hollywood because there was no roles for him, and mm-hmm. dealing with the fact of being like short round, which is, I mean, a character that is not universally beloved. He is so good in this movie. It's just like, and that like whole character is done, but it's like they everyone has to do so much but they're the same character, but they're different at the same mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. But it still has to be the same person, and they all nail it. And it's
the thing where he's like the famous business person and she's like the super cool movie star, that universe where they're in
the Wong Kar-wai section. Well, yeah, and basically it's like, just like Michelle Yeoh in real life.
Well, yeah, yeah, whatever.
They literally had red carpet footage from Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, 100%. You could recognize the dresses.
Yeah.
That scene where he's like talking to her about like their potential life was devastating. Could have been. Yeah, mm-hmm. I cried. I think I cried that entire scene. He's so good.
He looks so handsome too.
I know, but he's so serious with the gravitas and like that like deep sadness. Like he definitely, to me, his acting in that moment outshone Michelle Yeoh's for sure, because she just didn't have as much to do there. Like he was the one that was carrying that weight.
Well, that scene is about him, right?
It's incredible.
It's his moment. It's Wayman finally getting the... that version of him is the place where he can have that conversation, whereas the other ones we have seen are not, right?
Always
he is
meek.
Not.
Question
yeah,
for
meeker.
You. When watching that scene, did you guys find that Wayman being the pivotal point of the film cheapened it at all? Like I thought Michelle was going to, like Evelyn was going to pull it out and she was going to save the day. And then in that moment, it's the Waymans from all the various universes that are like, no, be nice. And then she's like, oh, true. You know, like that didn't sit super right with me. Like, yes, it's a love story, whatever. But I guess it's the moments after that that made it okay for me, because they did make it about a love story. But in that very moment, I was like, oh, the guy gets to save the day, pissed me off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't see it that way. I saw it as just like Michelle Yeoh's character, Evelyn, who's always been like the take control alpha, don't listen to other people, don't need their help, always can do it by herself, taking a moment to like actually listen to the other people in her life and understand their perspectives. Because previously she had just been like doing everything all the time and not necessarily listening to the other people in her life. And I like that even her after the, I think it was after this or maybe just before this, like her whole reconciliation with her daughter is her listening to what her daughter's actually saying, not just being like, oh, like you don't need to, you know, don't tell Gong Gong about your girlfriend because like whatever, blah, 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 blah. But actually being like, no, like, this is your life. I love you. And it makes sense that you want to be recognized and be able to share that with other people in our family. So you're not pretending to be someone else all the time. I don't know. It just like that whole interaction was just like mad flashbacks to like all of the Asian parent couples in my life, or like even not Asian parent couples, even like friends that I have where I'm like, or even my own relationship where it's like, maybe if I listened more, things would be better, you know?
If we all listened more.
Yeah, right? If we were all a little bit nicer, the world would probably be okay.
Yeah, I agree with Adele. I think what makes that work is that for that relationship, right, is like she needs to repair the relationships with her husband and her daughter, but her husband has always loved her, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just she has to be like their communication has just been broken. Whereas like the relationship that I think matters more to the movie, or at least I felt mattered more to the movie, was Evelyn and Joy, because it's like the whole end of the movie is Evelyn mending the fences, or getting to a point where her and her daughter can have like the conversation.
I love that she still does it in a tough love way, though.
Yeah, of course.
She doesn't change her character. Even when she's like, oh, Gong Gong, this is like her girlfriend. She's like, my daughter really sucks. She's a lot like me.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. It's because it wouldn't make sense if she was different, but it is.
Yeah,
like,
she can't change 180. She has to just be like.
And I love that she didn't. You know, and even when she's saying she loves her daughter, she's like, no, you are getting fat. Like, you know, both the scene in the restaurant or in the laundromat with the grandpa and the one outside in the car, it's like she still is that same parent. She still has this like tough love Asian mother thing, and I like that.
And when it's the scene at the laundromat after Evelyn trashes it, right, because it's getting taken from them and everything, the conversation is between Evelyn and Joy. Wayman's there, but he's not really in the conversation, but he's like, you can see him, but he's not having the discussion. It's between the two of them. And that's where it was, if they didn't do how they handled that and it was just Wayman getting the scene in their like tribute to Wong Kar-wai, then I would agree, and I think you can read it that way, but I don't either. I think that the movie is more in the relationship to me that the movie felt more about was the mother-daughter relationship, and then they also added the husband-wife. But that's how, yeah, I agree with Adele on that one. I think it's also, Joy's great. She's really good in the movie, and I'd never seen the actress before.
I kind of wish we got to see some of the father-daughter relationship. We never really see that.
Oh, with James.
With Joy and Waymond. Because Waymond is the whole like pivot point of like treat people with kindness, and like, and Evelyn learns how to interact with Joy because of what Wayman says, but we never actually see Wayman and how he parents
Joy.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's fair.
Yeah. I think, okay. I like that. I think my only point of conversation was like, it was pretty obvious that like he parented her, but he was like clearly the chill parent all the time.
Yeah.
And so they're just never like, the wasn't, bad guy. Yeah, there's never any conflict in their relationship ever, except for the fact that he just didn't really like try any harder to support her.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Wayman's a bit of a pushover, right? Like Joy could just get what she wants from him. Whereas like the person who is the head of the household is definitely Evelyn, who is like making like the rules, running the business, running, like organize everything. And Wayman's just kind of like, they definitely at the beginning, right, he's like running around just doing a bunch of stuff and trying to hand divorce papers at the same time, but also running the laundry. Whereas Evelyn is like, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And then Joy's conflict is with there is. Yeah. I would have liked to have seen that as well. Cause it did feel very much like, where's the father daughter relationship in this? Mm-hmm. He doesn't like, they, I mean, they had scenes where they were like a loving family, but it wasn't there. I didn't feel like that movie was missing it personally. But it is, yeah, it's not really there. Unfortunately, I mean, it might have been, they might have cut it because this movie is long. It's 140 minutes and it's a lot. And it's kind of amazing that you don't get overloaded with, like, you don't get oversensed because they're just throwing literally. When I remember in the, when the movie started and it said part one, everything. And I was like, okay, that's funny. And then it happened. I was like, yeah, that was kind of everything. That was, I was like, I don't know what else you would add there. That's like, you did a lot. And then the second part is part two, everywhere. And you're just like, oh, okay. And then you're like, yeah, we went everywhere. That's, you know, we did do this. But yeah, I think you could probably tell that Adele and I love this movie.
Well, it's a great movie. And like I said, it's incredibly like tight and the intricacies. And I feel like you could watch it a lot of times and see more Easter eggs and callbacks and stuff. Like even thinking about how all of her hobbies when she's doing the taxes at the beginning end up being other lives that she lives. Like that's so clever, and but not in an obvious way. Like if you don't notice that by the end, totally fine. And it also didn't go the other direction where she's sitting there doing the taxes and it's like, oh, her hobbies, she gets confused with jobs. And then it's like, oh, okay, I know what we're going to see here. Like it was just, they did a lot of, what's crazy is people put a lot of work into like tiny bits and not all of them people will notice, or not all of them a lot of people will notice. So it's like someone is putting all these tiny details, being like, I hope someone knows. I hope someone knows. And that's pretty cool.
It's a labor of love for sure.
Yeah.
I like that for all of the like sick action sequences and like sci-fi shit, it's just a movie about like, and like The Rock. The big thing about The Rock scene is that like, it's so like people in our day and age are so into like joking. I don't know. Maybe it's like my life people are like really depressed. Maybe. But I have this like an engineer friend that we always make jokes where we're like, haha, if we're having like a terrible week or month, we'll be like, haha, time to find a bridge, which is a horrible joke to make. But in our dark comedy like friend group, it's okay. But when Joy's whole thing is that like she just wants to disappear forever because life is too painful. And then the realization of the movie is that, like, yeah, life is painful and it sucks, but you kind of just have to live for the good parts. I don't know. It felt really touching. And I cried a whole bunch. And, like, what I like about this movie is that it's also a celebration of all those, like, joyous little things, the little details.
It is. And it's like, and it, you get the sense that it doesn't matter what life they chose in the end, what one they decided to stay in, because they all had value. Like, what I appreciated that was that there's no alternate universe where you're like, oh God, this is horrible here. Glad I didn't pick this one. Like, they all had value, but they also all sucked in some sense. Like, in the one where she's an amazing singer, she's also blind. And, like, things like that, that are really interesting. And, yeah, you're right, Adele. It's like, you just have to – it's your life. And it might be bleak and it might be hard and things might not matter, but it's your life for good or for worse.
I haven't found many movies that are so open talking about like the nihilist nature of life and how it, there's a lot of part of life that sucks and is unfair to you. Like Joy didn't ask, like Joy was just in the, Joy was born into this situation, right? Like this is where she was grown up. And then like, as the disconnect of people, right? Like she grew up in America, her parents didn't. So it's like their lives are dramatically different from each other. And that's, and that, like the movie doesn't really show that, or the movie does show that, but like I haven't seen a lot of movies really dive into that in this way. And a part that I really, really enjoyed is that there's not very, or at least I haven't seen, I'm sure these movies exist, but there's not very many movies that cover like an older immigrant couple that are like affectionate and romantic towards each other, right? Like they're always have been portrayed, at least in American cinema, as like cold relationships.
Yeah, like together out of convenience and habit at this point.
And like the whole thing is that Wayman wants, like, there's when they walk into tax building at the beginning, there's that older couple that is being affectionate, yeah. right? And that's like all he wants mm-hmm. is moments like that. And Joy just isn't, or not Joy, Evelyn just isn't thinking like that in that moment or like there. But at the end of the movie, you do get that moment with them, mm-hmm. right? And it's just like you don't, like that's never discussed in any way. It's like, at least not in American cinema. I'm sure in
There's like a couple recent, I think, Asian American movies like Tiger Tail. And there's something else that Zima's in that I've seen that was a small indie film that's about like older, specifically Chinese American immigrant like family relationships. Tiger Tail is kind of depressing though. And the other movie that I remember watching him in that's also like Asian American older romance, I'm pretty sure he cheats on his wife and then she dumps him. But it's about the wife like empower gaining her own self-power and all that stuff. And then Tiger Tail is about him connecting with his daughter, who's also going through, like, even though they come from very different, they were raised in very different ways, they're both going through divorces. So if you want to cry, would recommend those two movies.
This movie also is in Mandarin and Canto as well. They have parts with both.
Yes, I think. And
yes, they definitely do. And it's no surprise. Yeah, I am. I'm fluent in every language. it's going to be no surprise to Carolyn and Adele that like the scenes that I like the most, but I am the most critical of, is the scenes where they're basically just doing Wong Kar-wai bullshit. who is, if not one of my favorite directors ever, and there is a bunch of other there's a bunch of love letters to other cinema in this movie. Like that yes. one is explicit, but with like all the action scenes and stuff too, it's like it's a lot of Jackie. And like for movie nerds scene? Or like sorry, go ahead.
Hot dog sorry. Scene. The butt plug scene though, where they have to like mm-hmm. Shove the objects in their butt. I was like, this is insane. Like
it was absurd.
It was so ridiculous. And it's the fact that it's happened so early.
You're laughing your ass off, but then it's also like an effective action scene, right?
It's very
like,
effective.
It's like, no, she needs to do this. This logically makes sense because the moment we're in, because they've set this up and you're like, yeah, I guess that technically could happen. And now we're here. And the two people who are fighting are the people who did the entire choreography for the movie. They're the stunt choreographers who.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The directors have worked with their crew or people they've all came up with. Like they all came up together and they have made their previous movies together and now they're making this one. And those guys were also the men she was fighting in that scene with the butt plugs, which is again, just completely absurdist. But in the moment you're like, well, it is, we're talking about infinite universes here. This is one possibility.
Well, I just love that. Like Michelle Yeoh seems like such a classy lady, and someone had to be like, okay, so in this scene, you're fighting these two men with things hanging out of their bums, and she was probably like, okay, sounds good, yeah. Like,
I mean, another good part about this movie doing so well is that it gave her the opportunity to go on like a huge press tour, through America, mm-hmm. and the world, because she is, like I said before, like a very established classical actor.
Hong Kong,
like
she's actress,
Hong Kong. Yeah. Yeah. Like her life is essentially that one scene of like as the rich movie star with no kids, right? Like that is kind of
her
who
life.
Michelle Yeoh is her life.
She was like Miss Hong Kong or Miss something, some world pageant queen thing. And then she like mm-hmm. was on a bunch of commercials and then she immediately like became an action star with Jackie Chan movies. The cool part is like that was back then when people did like all of their stunts. Like
she still
all
does. She won't do a movie if she's not allowed to do her own stunts.
I mean, but now you have like safety.
Young.
Yeah, like you have safety and shit. Like back then,
oh no,
they were,
she
like,
won't take
dropping
like, the hard
people.
Falls. She won't take like the actors never take the falls, right?
Back then they did in like
yeah,
the
back
1980s.
Then they, well, in Hong Kong, yeah. they certainly did. Yeah, and if you're in a Jackie movie, you're doing it. But like now, at least for. Like American films, actors are never the ones that are taking like the big hits, like just the insurance won't cover it. But for all, she was like, she said like for almost all of the fight scenes and stuff, it's her in there because she doesn't, mm-hmm. she's just like, that's what she finds fun about acting. She's like, if I don't get to do that, I'm not really interested in doing it anymore. And I'm just like, lady, you're like in almost 60. Like
she is 60.
yeah. Like, I feel like at some point your body's going to be like, uh-huh. And we're done. So, but she's, yeah. I mean, That's kind of also why the movie works, right? Is that it's her as Evelyn. Like, I don't know who else could do play Evelyn in this movie with all that is required of the
Well,
actor.
And to have it be believable. Yes. Like, yes. I feel like so many other people you would, like, because to me, I haven't, I guess I have seen her in actioning roles because I saw Shang-Chi, but.
She's barely in that movie.
Yeah, but she's awesome when she is in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, she needs to be in it more. That's one of the problems with that
Bond
film.
Girl?
She was in a Bond movie. I don't think she was a Bond girl.
Oh, okay.
I guess just in my brain, she's like this like classy lady. So she plays that part really well, but she also fits supernaturally into the action sequences. But what I liked about this movie is that it's not like, oh, suddenly she's this, you know, beautiful movie star who's doing action sequences. It's like they allow her to like grow in them. Like she's not good at the fighting at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then the scenes where like when she accidentally does that thing and she has the hot dog hands, but like she doesn't have the hot dog hands. She's like in her real life, but her hands are just useless. Like I like things like that where they did the transition really well. Like you believe that she is becoming this person that knows all these skills or is learning all these skills. The transition is very, very flawless.
I mean, it helps because her background is martial arts, right? Like, so mm-hmm. She is actually crippling herself in the first bit of the scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, very established. Like, I think the movie probably most people, at least if you've seen one, is probably Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I think so.
She's done a bunch more. Like, she was in Tomorrow Never Dies, and she's been doing a bunch of movies recently. She was in a Marvel movie twice as two different characters. Like, she was in two Marvel movies. She's in the new Avatar movie. She's in Transformers. She's like cashing the bag. She's getting right now.
The Star Wars show. Isn't she in some like Lord of the Rings or something?
She's in Star Wars as well. It's just usually, I mean, this was my first experience of Michelle Yeoh movie where she is not completely in control of everything, right? Like, she is kind of like, I haven't seen a movie of hers where she is being fun and also kind of pathetic at the same time. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen all of her movies, but she's always just like in control, like the smartest person in the room, very proficient. And in this movie, she's not, and it's messy. And that's probably partly because she doesn't get those roles offered to her very often.
Yes.
But I'd never seen her not be her like persona in real life as well, because when you look at her red carpets, you're like, oh, this is like the classiest person I've ever seen in my life. Like,
oh, I think she's in a terrible Christmas rom-com movie. I think she plays the
mom.
She is.
I saw that on her IMDb.
Yeah, I've seen this movie. It's actually very bad, but it's got Henry Golding, who's really attractive. So,
see, that's the strength of the movie, is that she does feel like a normal person, mm-hmm. and like that is literally the best thing about this movie, is that normally the people that save the world, oh, you had the strength in you the whole time, whatever, whatever. This is a normal freaking family. And I love that, like, when Joy and her are having the, like, conversation at the end, and Joy's like, it's just so hard to be around you, basically. There's not a particular reason. Like, that is just sometimes what mother-daughter relationships do. And not even, mm-hmm. like, if you had to be like, Joy, why does being around your mom suck? She probably doesn't have an answer, you know? Like, mm-hmm. a lot of movies fall into the trap of giving too much backstory. Like, oh, this one time Joy wanted to do this thing and her mom didn't let her and blah, blah, blah. It's an evil origin story, whatever. Mm-hmm. They have a normal relationship, because even in this, it's not like mom didn't accept the girlfriend and then suddenly does. It's like she, you know, sort of accepted the girlfriend, but, you know, don't tell grandpa, you know. It's normal. All the dynamics are normal. There's not like... Yeah, it's basically you pick a real life family and drop them into this crazy situation. And I think that's what makes it relatable, is mm-hmm. that these characters do feel like normal people with normal drama and normal questions about the universe, instead of like a superhero movie.
Yeah, I completely agree. Right. It is mm-hmm. like kind of playing in the same editing style and, I guess, action as big budget superhero movies, but is just so much more interesting.
And
better
like
than
real?
Those movies, because and real, and it's made for an eighth of the price.
When's the last time any of us cried at a Marvel movie? Like I must have cried the entire back 2/3 of this movie.
I think probably Black Panther.
Did you cry in Black Panther?
I think yeah, I did. Yeah,
a little bit.
It was the scene with MBJ and his dad in the movie when they're in like the other world, right? And that scene was very emotional for me. Not like this movie where it was
you can cry the entire time.
Yeah, like there's multiple scenes in this movie where it's just like you're absurdity, 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 and then it's like, oh no, we're having a real human conversation right now, and you're like, I'm fucking devastated. Like, you've just like you punched me in the gut. It's yeah. It's
I think the last movie we watched together where we were both crying like for the majority of the movie was Waves.
Yes. I mean, I cried more in After Yang than in this movie.
Really?
Yeah, but I think After Yang is not as good as this movie, but that one was more emotional for me because it was dealing with like this movie has a happy ending. That movie doesn't really have a happy ending.
Not really.
No. It's also great, but like this is I guess to transition this is out of all the movies I've seen this year, and to be fair I haven't seen many of the Oscar movies because they're coming out right now / I have no idea what is in theaters anymore because it's just been one of those years where like nothing has been I look in there and Top Gun Maverick is still in theaters and it's like oh has literally nothing else come out
nope, that's the only one.
And now Black Panther 2 is out, so I'm guess like I guess that and like Avatar 2 is like the next movie I know that's coming into theaters. And like nothing else.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent came out this year.
Yeah, it's been a weird movie year, which makes this a weird like Oscars discussion because this is my favorite movie that came out this year. I am so far that I've seen. I adore it. And I just have no idea what it's going to be nominated for / what it should be nominated for other than I think the acting and the direction kind of have to be there and probably the effects, but it's going to be there. If it isn't, I think they've screwed up in a lot of ways because this movie was the movie. It like came out in April and was the cultural conversation for a long time. But Carolyn?
Hi.
How do you think this movie's gonna go over with the Academy?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think the reason that I had a different idea of what this movie was than what it actually was is because of the way that people are talking about it. Like, people aren't talking about it like it's the next big Marvel movie or a fun summer blockbuster. People are talking about it like it's The Farewell, and that's confusing.
It is not so, like The Farewell. The Farewell
no, not
is
at all.
So
but more,
different.
Yeah,
no,
this
but people are
better.
Talking about it in the sense that it's like a respectable film. Like, the people that I've been hearing are like, oh, it's really good. They're not saying, oh, man, it was fun. There was airplanes or explosions or whatever, you know? Like, the way that people are talking about it are like, it's a respectable piece of cinema and not a fun summer blockbuster.
It is.
It's a ton of fun. But it is also, there's more substance to it than a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know. I think that the young people, ever since the demographic of the Academy has been changing a little bit, I think that those people could buy into it. I wouldn't be surprised. Because, yeah, for some reason, it sits with me differently than just a fun, crazy movie.
Let me, here, I'll run this down. Should Michelle Yeoh be nominated for Best Actress?
Yes.
Yes.
Should Stephanie Hsu be nominated as Supporting for Joy?
Yes.
Sure, maybe.
What about Waymond for supporting?
Waymond for supporting?
I feel like he won't be, but he could be.
I think he should be.
Yeah.
Absolutely he should be. Because like the scene with the Wong Kar-wai spoof scene is like alone. Like just fucking put that up there. Like,
yeah.
And a person we haven't talked about. It should be, it has to be nominated for Best Picture. Like if they don't, like what are they doing? Like
this is, has a chance to be nominated for that, given that the cinematography is good, the editing is good, the acting is good, it's the sound is good. It's like well-rounded, and that is what ends up in the Best Picture categories, right?
Also this year, like if we're legitimately talking about Top Gun Maverick being nominated for Best Picture,
yeah,
like
yeah.
If Top Gun Maverick wins Best Picture, but not Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
I have so many problems.
Okay, Adele, hear me out. Hear me out on this, okay?
I swear to God, someone burned down the Oscars.
That is, oh boy, join us. So Carolyn and I have been there. Welcome. We can go back to the green book here. We've got our torches here. So there's going to be this movie that is like diverse and is emotional. And it's like a very American story about like a variety of different people. And then there's a movie about planes with white people.
But did you see that movie? It made me a man.
I also cried in Top Gun Maverick because they weaponized Val Kilmer's actual life against me.
I literally came out and I felt my chest hair grow. It was like, I felt so damn patriotic for America, which is saying something given that
we all love some propaganda, okay? We all love
some. I felt like a true American patriot.
Now, this movie is, I know we're shitting on Top Gun Maverick. This movie is way better than that movie.
That is how I felt coming out of the theater.
I love Top Gun Maverick. It's a good movie. I think it's really good and should also be nominated for Best Picture. It just shouldn't win.
No.
Like, that's where I'm at. Just don't give it. Don't. You could give Tom Cruise Best Actor. Fucking whatever. I don't care. Just it can't win Best Picture. And a person we haven't talked about, we're almost 45 minutes into this recording, is Jamie Lee Curtis is in this movie.
I like her in this. She also gets to play a bunch of very different characters, and they all have something. What I like is, like, I mean, some of them are a little crazier than others, but what I like is that even the ones that are like really out to get the family do have a softer part and an understanding part. And so you can still see the through line of that character through all the universes.
No. And yeah, she gets to do a lot, and she's just not the villain, right? She's also a fully fleshed out person, and is also willing to play with like her persona as well, because she's being like frumpy and cantankerous. Yeah. And hot dog fingers. But it's just like, I don't know. I know the hot dog fingers thing is kind of where everyone goes because it's ridiculous and it's a funny thing to see. But also those scenes between the two of them are really good.
Well, also, when you start to realize, yeah, like they take a while to show you because hot dog, we're never like in hot dog world. It's kind of like we snap to it. But when you realize like, oh, in this world, they're in love. And like where she has that scene where she's like, I don't know what I did to you or whatever she says. That's like, I don't know what I did to make you angry at me. And you're like, oh, it's a different world. That's why, like, you know, and like, and you, that was where I was saddest. That broke my heart. But what I appreciate is that that love story was not a spoof either, because in the end, when they're wrapping up all of their lives and showing the different connections between the various love stories and the daughter and whatever in all the different worlds, that one still gets included. And her character, her character is not only included in Hot Dog World. It's also her and Evelyn, you know, figuring out how to vape outside the store and like, and them chatting in a different scenario. Like, she is pivotal to the story in all the various worlds as well. And it's not in there just as like a one-off of like, oh yeah, this Hot Dog World where they're in love, crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I adore this film. The only thing I think we should mention before we wrap this up is Rekha Cooney.
Harry Shum Jr., baby.
And Rekha Cooney was voiced by Randy Newman, which is insane when you think about it.
Who's Randy Newman?
He is a composer who has scored a bunch of Disney. He scored a million movies, but a lot of Disney and Pixar
movies.
Isn't he
Toy Story?
He is. He also scored Ratatouille.
Yeah. Why do we? Oh, okay. I mean, it's cool that he scored Ratatouille and then he gets to be the raccoon, I guess. I was like, how else do I know who this
is? Randy Newman has scored hundreds of films.
You know that salsa, Newman's Own? It's him. He's a very famous American singer-songwriter, basically.
Okay, okay.
You've Got a Friend in Me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's just like a legendary composer. And it's very funny that they gave him, he did Rekha Cooney. Also, Harry Shum Jr. is in the movie as well, who we did not mention. And Jenny Slate is also a little cameo as the dog mom. And she's just being Jenny, kind of just doing a Jenny Slate character. So do either of you have anything else you want to say about Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Hot dogs for best supporting actors.
Best costume?
Yes.
No, best supporting actors. Come on.
Best supporting actor.
Also, The Rock. The Rock should be nominated as Best Supporting Actor
too. I honestly hope when they do, when it's nominated and they have like the clip in the Oscars of like, this is the scene that they pull. It's going to be the scene in the parking lot for Michelle Yeoh when she's talking to Joy. Yeah. I really fucking hope it's the Rock scene though. God, if they did that, I would not be able to stop laughing. I would just that be would like, involve fuck yeah.
Someone at the Academy having a sense of humor though.
True. I think they have, I don't think it's going to win anything. I think the only thing it has a chance to win is her for Best Actress.
I think editing.
Best Picture.
It will be nominated for Picture. I don't think this is going to win Best
Who
Picture.
Who else is going to win Best Picture? If
it's
going to
be the Spielberg movie. It's going to be the Spielberg movie.
The Fablemans.
It's going to be the Spielberg movie.
What is
and they're going to give Spielberg director.
This should win for Best Editing because it's incredible.
Oh, absolutely. And I would love to see the effects reel. To see what actually was there. And I would also like to know what the script is. Because what did you write down?
Isn't The Fablemans just a movie about himself, though? Why would this... I'm so angry.
Because the Academy loves talking about film.
You know what is the Academy catnip? Self-masturbatory films. They love it when directors jack themselves off. They love that.
I hate everything.
And Spielberg is the most famous living director.
So everyone loves when he jerks himself off.
Yeah.
Well, he normally doesn't make films like this. Like, he normally is all about, like, the crowd pleasers, like Jaws and, like, the things like that, like the fun films.
West Side Story.
Yeah. And this is one where he's, like, it's a little bit more introspective about his own life.
Mm.
Also, he's trying to take it to the festival circuit. Like, he took it to TIFF, and he doesn't do festivals.
Spielberg is running. He is running.
Yeah.
Who knows if it will, but that is probably going to be the biggest competitor for this movie. If
to be fair, I've also heard it's good. Everyone that I know that's seen it says that they came out feeling really good. Like, if you love film, you feel good. And they also even said, like, it made me want to go back in and watch it again. So.
Yeah, I just know, like, I'm sure the Spielberg movie is good, and I'm excited to see it.
It's 3 hours long, though.
Too long.
Hey, we got Avatar 2, and it's going to be nominated as well. So don't like, strap this. In, boys. you think I'm joking, but the best picture is going to be this movie, Top Gun Maverick, Black Panther 2, Avatar 2, and The Fablemans.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Pinocchio movie with Tom Hanks will be there. And we're just going to be like, we really didn't have anything else. And whatever that Cate Blanchett fucking movie that just came out.
Oh, Tar. We should watch Tar. That looks pretty cool.
Tar and the Brendan Fraser, Darren Aronofsky movie. That's like what we're basically strapping in for this year is.
What about The Menu looks great. It's got Anya Taylor-Joy and The Pointy Man.
Let me explain something to you. The Oscars hates movies that are like to have fun with themselves and are horror.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Don't like horror.
They didn't nominate Toni Collette for Hereditary. Okay. There's no hope.
Yes. That is sacrilege. Her entire, just her face alone should have won. Let's not talk about her acting with the rest of her body.
So get ready to burn it down, Adele, when they give Best Actress to Jennifer Lawrence over Michelle Yeoh.
I'm going to fucking murder someone. Honestly, if your listeners like this movie or anything that's like vaguely Asian American related, the 2017 Canadian movie that I found the title of, Meditation Park, is a great movie. It's got Sandra Oh, Sima, and then this lady Shang Pei Pei, who like doesn't really act, like she's just a Hong Kong actress, but she's old. Like, they're all really old in this movie. It's about like an Asian couple in their 60s getting divorced. And then Tiger Tail, I will always recommend because it's fantastic.
I love I was gonna say Christina Yang. Sandra Oh. I love Sandra Oh.
Everyone loves Sandra Oh.
So I also love Sandra Oh. She's great in everything she does. I should also say I would like to see Ki Hai Kwan in more things now, please.
Yeah,
if he is back as an actor, because he stopped acting after, I think he did like one or two movies after he was in Indiana Jones, and then stopped because he felt like there wasn't anything for him.
And now he's back. There probably wasn't.
And there probably wasn't.
Deserves to be more.
And he had a very touching moment with Harrison Ford IRL because they were doing interviews and stuff, and he came. He was afraid that Harrison Ford wouldn't recognize him, and they asked if he wanted to meet, and he was like super anxious about it. It's in his GQ profile, this quote, but he like walk up to him and Harrison Ford just turns to him and has been like, "Hi, short round," or something essentially. And then they hugged, and it was, and aww, he was like, and I cried. And I was like, this man is the cutest man. But you can find me everywhere on the internet at James Will, except on Twitter, where the O's is zero. And you can find Carolyn.
You can find me on everything, everywhere, all at once at
Caroline. Go on, you monster. Go ahead.
Oh. Me?
No, I'll let Carolyn actually say what her
You want me to say it again?
Yes. No. I ruined your joke so you could just plug yourself. That's why I did that.
You can find me at CarolynDunk93 on all the platforms.
Adele?
Oh, you can find me only on Twitter, the platform that is burning down actively today, at YAdeleY. Otherwise, like, honestly, if that disappears, you might just have to smoke signal me because there's no other way. I don't exist anywhere else. I guess, like, Snapchat, but I'm not going to give that away out to people.
Yeah, there's no other social medias. Just everybody look for Adele's porn Tumblr.
You can when it comes out.
When it comes back, yeah. On all places, and you can send an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And the next movie we're talking about is Nope. It will just be Carolyn and I because Adele was, I offered that Adele could be on it, and she was just said nope. So,
I mean, the only thing I can comment is how cool the alien looks and how it's a heist movie. That's about it. I didn't find anything. It wasn't particularly that interesting outside of that. Oof, I'm gonna get savagely dunked. Man,
that's a major spoiler for our podcast because that's basically what I'm gonna say.
Oh, James is gonna.
How
lose
am
his mind.
I in the position to defend a movie that I think is fine?
exactly. It's fine, but we'll get into that in the next episode.